I'm going to introduce those notes, and I want to have you, first of all, though, turn to marketingexperiments.com/affiliate _ offering.cfm, which should be a link in the research log right there under the link section. And I will pull that up and just let you know a couple of things quickly as we're moving into this. We ourselves have been researching the best way to structure partnerships and affiliates for nearly 3 years, 24 months of solid research. We're going to be releasing a report on affiliate programs and alliances and how to use them. They are a powerful concept that's been sorely misused across the net. But also, as part of our research, we're releasing a program. We really have received so many emails from people asking us, is there a way for participate with us on an affiliate level? We don't really like to use the word affiliate because its connotations to me are weak and that so many affiliate programs are a disappointment. But we are using an affiliate-styled software to develop a kind of a co-marketing approach with some of our members. And those, it's with members only, and they have to be approved. And yet, once they are, we work very closely with you to do and help you establish a residual income stream working with the lab. This page talks about that. You may be aware of it. If not, later you may want to come back and talk about it. We can customize subscription forms. We can share and license some of our content with you. We can co-brand reports and editions of the journal. In certain cases, and we're doing this with Yahoo and possibly eBay, and we may do it with some others, we can do co-chartered labs. We can do text and graphic links. This is the same principle we would operate with if you were, a small but smart consulting group. The guts of our approach would be identical to what we would be doing, say, with eBay. And it's based on all this research. This page discusses it. If you're interested in finding out about it, you can apply, and we'll have someone contact you personally who does nothing but speak with candidates and work with the process to try and build this series of very key relationships that we think are critical to our own strategy. And so that is what I'm wanting to reference to there. I'm going to give you one more link. Most of you or some of you may be familiar with this. We're planning the research calendar for the fall, for the spring of next year. And the research calendar is our research partnership relationships are we're still working with our original research group, but if you look at marketingexperiments.com research_call.cfm, again, that's in the listed links. It will describe, the opportunity for some of our members to participate with us in research, and you may want to review that also. And, the program basically is something where we conduct mutual research, you get the benefit of growth, and we get the benefit of good data, and we participate in the revenue that we create to underwrite the cost of research. Having brought those two links, does everybody see that, and can I move right into the presentation? Are there any questions about that? Good. I'm going to move right into the presentation then. To do that, I'm going to take...
I was not able to capture either of the links that you said, even though I was listening closely. Could you say them slowly and repeat them?
Sure. The first link is marketingexperiments.com/affiliate_offering.cfm.
Okay.
The next one is marketingexperiments.com/research_call, that is C-A-L-L, call, dot C-F-M.
Thank you.
And they do appear in the research log notes, so you can, if you miss them or have any trouble with them, check them out. If you have any other problem, email support and we'll send them to you. Okay? All right, now, I have in the research log, and I trust we all have that, have a set of reference notes that we'll be referring to, including the URL we'll be visiting. I also have an outline which we'll post after this presentation with some of the adaptions that we generally make, as we're talking with you. But in the meantime, let's begin by talking about Google. I would suggest you pull up our latest research on Google, which is on the home page of the lab, and also there is a link for it in the information that you should have right in the information in the research log that I've just referenced. And so log into the lab and look on the home page if you'd like. While you do that, let me just remind you of a couple of things that are germane to what we're speaking of. Google receives 250 million searches per day. They control roughly 40% of the market. The latest data I have is in February of this nature, and in February, Google received 3 million more searches than Overture, its nearest competitor. They search more than 3 billion web pages. They attract 73.5 million unique visitors per month. That's per Nielsen. They offer the results in 35 languages, and 50% of their traffic come from outside the U.S. They have about 800 employees and about 60 PhDs on their staff, and they've become a powerhouse in thinking about your search strategy. Now, I'm not a big fan of Google. I know that they have almost a cult following among some, but I do respect the excellent job they've done at acquiring relevant searches and at building your organization. Now, I say that, but I am very cognizant of the fact that it's extremely strategic to a site for two primary reasons. Number one, in a search market that has increasingly become pay-per-click driven, Google offers you an opportunity to dilute your true cost per click, because you may be paying for Google AdWords, but since Google PageRank in itself does not charge you for a listing, if you can get significant content from Google PageRank, you can overall dramatically reduce what your cost per visit is, or your overall customer acquisition cost. And that's strategic. And there's another reason also that I think it's critical. In the search business, so many of the big powerhouses, just a short while ago, there was a dozen and seven big ones. But right now, Yahoo draws its search results from Google. Now, of course, there's been some purchases, AltaVista and Yahoo purchasing Overture. We don't know how that's going to shake out. But the bottom line is that there are not that many places for you to go when you're off, when you've bought all the available traffic on the pay-per-click engine you can afford. There's not a lot of options out there. Depending on the nature of your business, I have seen Google a good page rank triple a site's traffic. Now, most of the time it won't do that, but it will make a considerable difference. Just this month, I talked with a major retailer, lost their Google page rank, have worked hard to get it back. It took them 2 years. They got it last month, and this month they're having record sales, and they trace the traffic back to achieving a respectable ranking on Google PageRank. Now, having said all of that, having said all of that, let me suggest this to you. Google PageRank is not as formulaic as many of the old search engines' listing systems were in terms of their algorithms. And in the old days, men tried all kinds of tricks in order to achieve a high page listing within the engines. That hardly works with Google. What really gives you a high page rank with Google is having a highly respected, or a page that many people link to, basically, in theory, a good page. If you summarize it all, Jeremy Brookins, who's a Google page rank expert working on our staff, I'm going to quote him. He says, the real keys are an aggressive linking campaign, a non-redirect affiliate program, and high-quality content. I'm hearing some interference. Is anyone else hearing that? Pardon me? Hello?
I can hear the interference, too.
Thinking someone's on a cell phone. If you're on a cell phone and it's having interference, please help us to minimize that, if you could. But it sounds clear right now. So at any rate, the real keys are an aggressive linking campaign, a non-redirect affiliate program, and high-quality content. To summarize, it is simple, but there is a significant difference between simple and easy. And the real question I have, and I think it's the question I want to address today, is how can a busy executive implement these three key elements?
I think what's going on, Flint, is that people need...
Pardon me? I'm hearing that again. Does anyone have any light as to what's happening?
No, I can hear, but I don't know what it is.
I believe that you have some provision to set yourself as presenter and block every other input.
Yes, I think we do. And Sean, I believe you can block that, but I'm not sure who to block or where that's coming from at this point.
No,
so,
it'll make only you be heard. It'll put you in presentation mode.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. If continues, but you're the okay. My administrator.
There's our speakerphone, I think.
All right. Well, we'll continue and see how things work out. The difficulty is I am not logged in as the presentation mode. You're absolutely accurate. Sean is, and I should be. Sean is our administrator. I should be, and we'll remedy that.
Next. I think somebody's on their speakerphone, like, causing a problem too.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on then. Here's the bottom line. If an aggressive linking campaign, a non-redirect affiliate program, and high-quality content are the key,
just move today.
How do we accomplish that? And so that's what I'd like to look at right now. And I'd like to begin by thinking about the question: how do you develop a content-rich site, particularly if you're in retail? So, having said that, let's get right into three examples. We're going to pull three specific examples off the net, examine their page rank, and look at what they're doing correct. Is everyone ready? First site, it's tomshardware.com. Many of you I know we have a full conference, just kind of give me a rough idea as you're talking. How many of you are familiar with Tom's Hardware, or you have been there before or used them?
I'm not familiar with them.
Okay. They've been on the net a long time, and they have a name that you might think relates to, home improvement, and it doesn't. It's primarily a review site for computer hardware. It also has a PR7 page rank, which is very high. Believe it or not, a 7, if you can achieve a 7, you've done well. There are not many higher than 7 that are commercial sites. Tom's Hardware is not a beautiful site. If we were doing site design, we'd made a lot of changes. In fact, if we were designing their URL and their domain name, we would have done that as well differently. But they've been on the net a long time. Their name has become a brand, and so like Yahoo, doesn't matter what their name is. People who are looking for good information before a purchase have become aware of Tom's Hardware. They have approximately 2,260 incoming links, which is a pretty strong indicator of their popularity on the net. And I want to talk to you about their page. If you've got their page in front of you, which, again, if you're looking at the notes, www.tomshardware.com. Page rank is PR7. Observation, number one, is it uses a three-tier organization as opposed to a deep site in their nav. Now, I'm not sure. You might want to take a look. I am not sure if you're familiar with the principle we talked about in our original article, but one of the keys to designing your site for a high page rank, to design it so that its organization, its tier structure, in its nav is not too deep. Jeremy?
Yes.
Are you online?
Jeremy?
Jeremy Brookins.
Jeremy? Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Please
speak
real loud. Give us Jeremy works with us. Just comment for a moment about nav structure as it's in its relationship to Google, if you could.
Okay. Basically, the situation is this. Google uses a spider, of course. About the only thing anybody's ever found to make sure that Google spiders your entire site is a three-tiered deep drug structure. That's three directories deep. If you go to Tom's Hardware and you look on their left side, we'll pick processors. Okay, right, it says Tom's Guides. On the left side, you see processors. If you click processors, what you'll notice is that it goes down one tier. So now it's tomshardware.com/CPU. That's one. You're now in your second tier. Okay.
Let me stop you for a minute. Just give everybody a chance to find processors. It's in the left nav in the gray column. I see it under Tom's Guides. All right, go ahead. Continue.
Okay, now if you click, if you click one of the articles, you're now going to go down into the third tier, which is, in this case, which will be the date. The very first article is Getting Up to Speed XP-TMC Adapter Socket, that stuff. And you're going to run into 2003-0703 and then index HTML. This is your third tier. This site does not go any deeper. No matter where you click, you're never going to get a fourth tier. This is how they make sure that when Googlebot hits their site, it does the whole site. So now all of their pages are indexed and all of their pages count.
So you're saying only three tier.
Only three tiers. Now, it is possible. Now, here's the thing. Basically, wait, it's like this. You can do four and five tiers, and but the problem is that sometimes Google will spider you, and sometimes they'll go three tiers and stop. The only way to guarantee that Google gets your whole site, pretty much, is to have three tiers.
All right, so that's the key thing. Tom's Hardware has it. It's a note for you guys. Let's move on. It also uses static pages. Now, most of us know the difference, but let me make sure that it's clear to everyone. A dynamic page is generated on the fly via the software on your site. A static page is a page you build in HTML and post it. Typically, you tell a static page by the extension at the end of the file name. In this case, in Tom's Hardware, it's .html. If it was a dynamic page, it might be .asp, for instance. That doesn't necessarily mean it's dynamic, but it might be. That's an indication. Or .cfm, indication that you're using ColdFusion or some other program to generate the pages. Google has a hard time picking up on these dynamic pages, and it will certainly affect your page rank if they can't properly spider your site. The third thing, and by the way, it uses static pages, but the third thing is it's a content-focused site. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't have a way to generate revenue through products, but what gets you, number one, to bookmark this site, number two, to link to this site, number three, to return to this site, is the fact that it has useful content, which is critical. We'll talk about how to do that and how to get that kind of content later. Number four, it offers reviews. And it sells the products it reviews via its partnerships with groups like BizRate. It has, and this would be a fifth point, extremely valuable partnerships with the right, with strong groups that give it a high page rank and also send it lots of traffic and thus, in two different ways, you know, influence overall what its page rank may be. So this is tomshardware.com. It's an example of a site that isn't particularly attractive, but is very effective and a solid, strong site on the net. I'm not sure, Jeremy, while I'm looking at this, give me the Alexa rating on Tom's Hardware, would you?
The what?
Alexa.
Oh, the Alexa rating?
Yeah, give me the Alexa
1299.
Rating. 1299. Pardon me? What is it?
1299.
1299, which is very, very high. This is a very, very high traffic site. All right, now let's go to a site I doubt most any of us have heard of as an example. Pure retail site. It's a bit of a mystery to me, but we're going to go there right now. It's in your notes as surlatable.com, and that is www.surlatable.com. Now, we've got someone on a phone that I'm hearing the acute voices of children. I don't mind it a bit, except that I'm trying to be courteous to our guests. I have two, by the way, a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and one on the way. But if we could perhaps mute that phone or do something to keep from hearing that, it would be great for the rest of our guests.
All anyone on the call needs to do to mute their phone is to hit *6. They don't necessarily have to have mute on their phone. If they just hit *6, it'll mute the conference for them. They'll still hear, but we won't hear the kid in the background.
That is correct. That is correct. Thank you. Okay. We have surlatable.com up in front of us. I hope everyone is seeing it. There's three images primarily, three product offerings in the center column of the page, refreshing homemade ice cream and perfect picnics and exciting new products in our latest catalog. Surlatable is somehow captured a page rank of 8, which is difficult for me to even I'm a bit baffled how it achieved that, but it has. And And that's on this site page. As you get into the site, its pages do not display page rank. And the reason is, in fact, just to give you an example, click on barware or any one of those columns under shop by category. I click on barware, and if you have the Google toolbar, you'll notice there's no page rank for those pages. This is because those are dynamic pages. If you click on cookbooks, it has no page rank, and if you'll look at the extension, it's a CFM along with an ID at the end. And so we know that page is generated on the fly, and because it's dynamic, this site is not being indexed on all of its pages. And though it's very helpful that the home page, very helpful that the home page has a page rank of 8, basically it's losing out. Let's assume the site has 1,000 pages because it could be in Google 1,000 more times if the rest of those sites had a static counterpart or the rest of those pages.
Question, Clint?
Pardon me?
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
I'm looking at my Google toolbar, and I don't see any reference to PageRank. How does one get at PageRank?
If you download the advanced toolbar.
Yeah, advanced toolbar. The first category of toolbar, this is Jeremy again, sorry. The first category of toolbar doesn't actually have that, so you have to take the advanced. Basically, you get the page rank and extension in return for allowing them to garnish information. Sorry. I just wanted to expound real fast. The one thing that White Flint said, it's that it's not indexing the sites. Basically, what we're seeing with the toolbar is the fact that Google did spider the site. It doesn't always, it's getting very, very good at spidering dynamic sites. The problem is that when you go, you get a different URL. So Google doesn't actually recognize the page. What it thinks it's giving you is something that it has spidered, but it just doesn't know it.
Can I ask a question related to that?
Sure.
If I have a page that is .cfm or .php or .asp, but it's static, for example, all my pages are static, but I use PHP to do includes on the header or the left navigation, is that troublesome too? I mean, does it have to say .html, or can I use something dynamic but very simple, not necessarily a different URL every time I click on a link?
Okay, basically, I'll try and explain this. Where you run into trouble is, I think right now what they're saying is that the big problem is basically question marks, because anything that comes after that is a URL change. You know, you get session IDs and this and that. As long as the page is the same, you shouldn't have a problem. There's no question mark. The pages are actually, the URLs are static. It's when the URLs constantly shift, what happens is the spider comes in and it gets confused, and it gets caught in a loop, and it just bogs down. And finally, after 2 or 3 hours of sucking the bandwidth out of your website, it says, okay, I'm done, and just leaves.
So, I'm sorry, can I ask you a question here? So just to clarify this, if you have a dynamic site, however, every time you go to the same product, it's the exact same URL. There's no session ID, let's say, because it's not a retail site.
Right.
There's no session ID. But every time you do the same action, you'll get the exact same URL.
Right.
Would it work?
It would work, because Google would recognize it. What happens is Google hits the link. It sees, okay, let's say, you know, you have a product ID, and it hits that ID. As long as there's nothing in that URL that never changes, there shouldn't be a problem. However, if something constantly changes when people change pages, then there's going to be a problem, and there's a chance that you will not get spidered.
So it isn't an issue of the dynamic page being created on the fly. It's the issue of just using the same URL.
Basically, dynamic. Let's say it's actually a problem with dynamic sites. So the catch-all is that dynamic sites are a problem. The technical reason is simply because that it constantly changes the URL on the spider and it confuses the spider.
So it has nothing to do with the fact that the page is actually being created on the fly in a template.
No, because a spider hits your website just like a browser does.
Okay. So it doesn't know where the page came from. It just sees a page.
Right. Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
You mentioned something about a question mark in the URL being a problem.
Yes.
The question mark. Did we hear that correctly?
Yes. For some reason.
What did you say about that?
Okay. I don't know why. Okay, this is something I've been trying to find out, and there's really a lot of debate. The big thing is that Google doesn't talk about anything. So very hard to come up with some information. Problem it has is apparently there's a hang-up with question marks. It's kind of like underscores. Currently, spiders don't interpret underscores as spaces, but that's something else entirely. But what you have is the question mark. For some reason, the question mark causes problems. I do not know why. They're trying to come up with other ways of working around this.
What do you mean by problem?
What I mean is that that's where it gets confused.
And therefore, it doesn't work, or it's just not to your advantage to use them?
It's not at an advantage to use it, basically.
Okay.
We've
come across several sites that have question marks in the URL in Google,
and they're on the first,
and
page.
They're on the first page. It doesn't seem to be doing anything to...
Well, what we're saying, basically, is it's not that you will not get spidered. It's just that it's a shot in the dark. It's basically kind of like flipping a coin. Google's getting a lot better. You have a 75% chance, around 75% chance from what I've seen of getting spidered. The problem is that 25% can kill you, because the day you get dropped from the index because Google couldn't spider your site, that's a month. You're gone for a month.
The thing to do is, if you have a dynamic website, is to cache your pages and only have them dynamic when they need to be. Because a lot of times, Cirlet table looks like a Cold Fusion page. They're using Cold Fusion throughout this website, but their home page looks like it's cached.
It's completely,
if you actually look at the code on the homepage, it's all JavaScript. You don't see any of this text on their homepage. This is all coming out of a database somewhere. This is a cached page.
It is.
View the source. This is not HTML. This is not an HTML page. So they've got to be caching a Cold Fusion page, is what I'm guessing. Because if you look at the source, it's all JavaScript. There's not. You can't even find the text from this page on their source. So
there's another way around this, and I'm going to talk about it in just a moment with you. I think you're right. It may be cached, but it is also the same exact page that's presented every time, as opposed to those internal ones with session ID, which has something to do with it.
Right. The ones internally probably are not cached, because they probably have like special products that are popped up periodically for sales, or special buys or other special promotional opportunities. So they're probably leaving those pretty much dynamic all the time. I'm guessing that they kind of intentionally wrote this one in a way that it can be cached, so it pretty much acts to the search engines as a static page.
Okay. Let me move on, guys. I think these are very good points, and but I want to continue so I can cover as much material in the next time, in the remaining time that we have, and help you as much as possible. And I want to suggest that there are some other things about the site worth mentioning. Number one, it offers in-depth affiliate programs and strategic partnerships with content sites. That's one of its ways that it's achieved some type of page rank. It offers classes and training, number two. It offers reviews. In fact, it has 1,390 incoming links. I would not be surprised, however, to see this site's page rank drop. I'm not sure how it's achieved an 8. I'm surprised that it's that high, though it does have these advantages, and all of those are advantages that you may consider for implementation with your own site.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do you tell how many links, incoming links, a site has?
Well, there's two ways that I would suggest you can consider. One, of course, is to check through, if you have your Google toolbar, you can click up on Page Info, which is on the Google toolbar, and click backlinks, and Google will tell you what it has. But the other is to go to AltaVista, and AltaVista will give you a much larger selection of links, and typically is a much higher number than what you're going to see on the Google PageRank bar. I believe that these numbers we're giving you are conservative estimates through the Google toolbar.
Also,
however, take the journal. We have 13,000 plus incoming links to our site traced through AltaVista. And we often don't even know what they are. I mean, we found out last week, it was kind of humorous around here, that we were quoted in the Rolling Stone magazine, or that we were quoted, no one knew that. But tracing links, you begin to, find all kinds of obscure references from around the world. I would suggest AltaVista may be your best tool. All right, now I'm moving on to reviewcenter.com. And it looks to me like the spelling there is the European spelling. So keep that in mind. Review, C-E-N-T-R-E.
Question, Flint. This is Bob Ross.
Sir, go ahead.
How does the page rank relate to the actual position on a search for a particular set of keywords? I just tried to search on some cooking keywords for Serlo Table. I didn't get anything on the first page for Google. I tried two or three different keyword searches. So is there a relationship between the page rank and actual keyword searching on Google?
I'm not sure that I understood your question.
I can answer that, actually.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Okay. Basically, this is what's weird about Google. You have two things going on. You have relevancy and you have page rank. Basically what happens is if you type anything in, the best example is Amazon.com. They're one of the largest sites. They have over 50 million incoming links. If you type cookware in, you don't see Amazon. Basically what it is they do a relevancy check. Type in your keywords. The first thing it does is it gets all the sites that are relevant, and then it orders them by page rank. So the trick to having the SERP, or search engine rank position, with Google in your specific keywords is going to be having the highest page rank. That's where it should start coming up. So if you start looking for items on their site that and you don't see them in the number one position, it may be simply that their site has not been geared for those keywords. It's a really, really weird system, but basically what you're reliant on SEO or search engine optimization as much as you are reliant on PageRank.
Really, I went to Amazon.com, and believe it or not,
they sell cookware.
No, they're redirecting the page to some other page, and the page they're redirecting everybody to has zero page rank.
Yeah, it's a I think they're running a mildly dynamic system, and like I said earlier, the zero page rank can mean a lot of things, but one of the main reasons you'll see that inside of a site that's dynamically generated is that that page was indexed. The site is indexed. It's just simply that Google does not recognize the page, so can't assign it a page rank.
So page rank is measuring not just position in the in their index and relevancy in their index, but some kind of combination of that with incoming links?
Wait, okay, I'm sorry. I need to make one thing really clear, I think, that I kind of missed here. Page rank is page specific. So your page rank for your index site or your index page and your page rank for another page in your site can be completely different things.
Huh?
So they vote for each other. That's in the internal page rank taking action. But what happens is it is simply just that it's page rank zero because Google just doesn't know. It just doesn't know what page that is. It just knows that it's indexed the site, so it gives it a page rank zero.
Let me just summarize quickly and move on to this site so we can stay on course. I just want to point out for you that Jeremy's key point, and we touch on this in the report, but it's very clear in the resources that are attached to the research log. There's some specific information about how you're ranked within Google within those resources. So if you look in the research log for today's conference and you look, you'll see a whole series of links and tools. And one of those sections, I think, is called explanations. And it will there's some sites there that can explain this very clearly for you. But I think Jeremy's point is that there's a difference between page rank and your position in Google's engine, and that two factors affect your overall position. One is the relevancy, and the other is the page rank. And that Google, first of all, determines relevancy, and that's based on keyword compatibility and factors such as that. Then, once it's identified all those relevant sites, those with the highest page rank appear first. So you may want to look at that. Let's continue, and let's look at ReviewCenter.com, and it has some unique things, one of which Jeremy talked about called internal page rank or internal linking, and I want to explain that to you, to touch on that in just a moment, and then move into some new ideas for you. Number one, it has a one-tier organization system. This site is only one tier deep. I don't know how functional that is, but it's obviously working well enough for them. They have a PR7 ranking. They're a highly trafficked site, and that's how they do it. It has static HTML pages. The site was clearly designed for a high search ranking. It has significant content. It has 3,740 incoming links, but more than any one of those that we've looked at. But what's unique about it is those links are mostly internal. Now, I have a sense that those of us on the phone, many of us, are fuzzy in our mind on how internal linking works. I don't know if I can answer that for you in this next 2 or 3 minutes, but I'm going to try to do that and then move into a new section. So with that in mind, by the way, Jeremy sent me an ICQ, and I think it's rather smart, Alex, so we may have to talk about his bonus this month. But his note on my last statement was, they're codependent, but relevancy is the first check, meaning that page rank and relevancy. Certainly, they are codependent, and he's right. In fact, there's a complex algorithm. You can see some of how that's calculated, the math behind it, in these resources in the site. But I want to talk to you coming up in just a moment about how to get content, how to forge partnerships, how to attract links. So I'm moving towards that information, but before I do, Jeremy, use this site to communicate what internal page rank looks like.
Okay, let me try here. This is actually kind of a difficult site because it's a little bit slow, and it's really hard to navigate. This site has a huge page rank, but its navigation is less than desirable as far as what exactly they promise in the main page. Anyway, basically what you're going to run into is, as you click through the links, you're going to find that every single page in this site is in the home directory. Many of you manage the websites, and you would know that they have something like 3,700 pages in a single directory. They're not relevant. It's really strange. They're just numbers. But what you have is basically each page is interlinked. Best way to explain this. Every page points back to the index page. Every page points only to the pages that are relevant to it. So what happens is if each page, ultimately, the guess is, because the algorithm is completely top secret with Google, each page originally has a value of 0.15. Now, it shares a piece of that with every page this links to. So every page in this site is sharing just a little bit of that rank with the first page or the main index page. And it's also sharing a little bit of that rank with the pages that it's linked to. When you get 3,748 pages, all pointing back to the index site, or to the index page, and then you run that algorithm somewhere around 50 to 100 times, that can be pretty daunting as far as how much rank your site is just generating internally. Does that make sense?
Yes. If you want to see how that works for just a moment, go to if you're on the main page, be on the main page, go up to page info on your Google toolbar if you have that. Click on backward links. And you will see that as it starts to list, there are 3,740. It tells you right there. As you start to see the list of them, most of the ones you're seeing, if you look at the URLs, are coming from its own site. Review Center Video, I'm looking at links, I'm just reading to you. Review Center CD Rewriters, Hyundai, that's from Review Center. Review Center Contents Insurance, Review Center Printers. The way it's designed is it's basically so much of these links are coming from the internal pages in the site pointing back to the page that got the rank of 8. Now, if you are not a technical person, the first part of this conversation may leave you feeling a bit flustered as to what in the world can you do with your own site. But let me just cut through all of that, and the practical side of this simply means this. Be careful, we can learn from these sites, not to have your nav too many tiers deep. Try to have not just dynamic pages, but try to have a set of good static pages, or at least pages that remain the same in terms of the URL. If you don't know about all of that, at least make sure, and I'm going to talk to you about that, make sure you have a bunch of good high-content static pages on your site, if nothing else. If you can't understand all about the ASP and CFM, I can tell you about how to do that coming up. But just bear in mind that we want pages that present the same URL over and over again so that once they're spidered, that's the same page that's going to be presented when somebody from the outside clicks in to visit your site. The other thing I would suggest for you is a strong affiliate program makes a big difference. And getting good partnerships and affiliates will drive links back to your site. And another thing to consider is that reviews will help you a great deal, as will offering classes and training. And a final thing is, even if you don't understand all the details, you can learn about them by looking at some of the resources that we've presented at the bottom of the research log. It's important to try and get the links or the pages within your site to link back to your home page and to link to the other pages in your site that are relevant to their content.
Now, before Jeremy, you move on, I have a question for you. When you've mentioned a few times about it has reviews on this site. You've showed us examples on all these sites where they have that. Why is that specific instance so important? And how does Google know it's a review versus an article or just some generic
text? That's a good question. It's not that the review gets page rank. It's not that the spider bot comes to your page and sees the review and says, oh, give them a higher page rank. It's that the review attracts incoming links. It's that when I'm going to just hold with that because I'm going to go, that's one of my points I'm getting ready to come up to, and I'll explain it in more detail, but it's a good question. So when I get to it, if I haven't answered your question, then you bring it back up again. But that's I'm right on my way to talking about that with you if I could.
Okay, thanks.
All right, good. All right, so then I want to move on. My first point was how to develop a content-rich site. First thing we did is we looked at three examples, and we looked at why those sites were doing well in PageRank. My next point is some fresh ideas that would help you also achieve a good page rank beyond what we saw there or including what we saw there. And I'd like to mention two or three of those to you right now. Number one, one of the best ways to improve a retailer's page rank is to implement what we call a parallel content-driven site. Take notes on this because I think it's useful for you to get some of the key points down yourself that you may not find in our research log notes. The parallel content-driven site is simply a site that may have a unique URL, may have its own domain name, but is rich with content from journals, from reviews, from a book that you bought the rights to put online. It's got lots of rich, useful information, and its pages are linked to the pages of your retail site, to the product that you're trying to market or the product that you're trying to market.
And that's not considered cloaking?
No, that's not cloaking.
As long as they're separate sites, you're fine. If you get in trouble, when cloaking is when you serve a different page to the spider than you serve to your users.
Yes, correct.
You can create like a .info site as a public service, so to speak, with a different domain name, and have a commercial site as .com, for example.
Well, yeah, let me just tell you, if you think about it from just the in a sense, from the business morality of it all, a parallel content-driven site is not a trick that is taking advantage of anyone. It's a really valuable resource, and that's what it should be. It's information, which is what drives traffic on the Internet. And I'd give you an example. Let's suppose that your product that you represent is, I'm just pulling this out of the air, it's not in my notes, but to try and make it clear. Let's suppose that your product is skateboards or mountain bikes. Let's suppose your product is mountain bikes, and you have all kinds of mountain bikes that you sell on your site, and as well as mountain bike accessories. Well, if all you have on your on your website is basically a product offering with no relevant useful information, it's not likely you're going to get a lot of bookmarks or you're going to get a lot of recommendations. You might, if you were the only mountain bike site in the world, and thus, you know, everybody interested in mountain bikes would find you as a hard to access or unique resource. But let's assume there's a lot of other competitors out there. You're not that unique, and nobody's going to bookmark you, and people aren't going to be writing their friends saying, go check you out. What they would be impressed with is a lot of useful information about how to purchase a mountain bike, how to repair a mountain bike, trails for mountain biking, tips from and interviews with mountain bike athletes, etc. That type of information, especially if it was really good, will attract a lot of attention. It'll get a high page rank if it's built right. And there's nothing to cause you or to keep you from having your site sponsor that site or from having links right within the content, right within the text, linking back to pages. For instance, if you're writing about how to repair your bike, you could have six links in that article back to tools on your site or parts on your site that are necessary to repair a bike. You integrate your product offering in your information offering. So that's one way to do that. Now, it brings a question to mind, and that is, where do I get the information? Because I want to caution you that you don't want to dilute your core focus. And so with that in mind, you know, the most natural way to approach this is a strategic alliance with an information provider. And the problem is that how do you find it? How do you structure it correctly? And I would give you a few caveats on that before we move on. Number one, one of the things that I've discovered is if you're really good at retail, you're probably not really good at publishing. If you're really good at publishing, you're probably not really good at retail. There are clear exceptions. But as a general rule, especially the average small business on the Internet, nobody has the competencies in-house to do all of that. So what I've discovered is a good retailer can typically find a good publisher who has a list but doesn't know how to make any money with it, or not how to make enough money, particularly in this economy. And it's not hard to go into e-zine directories and to find e-zines on your particular subject, and often they have a wealth of information. It's not hard to go into the offline world and to find trade publications in your field, if it's in cooking, in that area, and get offline rights to, or online rights to use that data. There's so many sources of information. Our entire world system right now is gorged with information. And what's more, many people don't know how to convert that information into revenue beyond the sale of the product, their one product, their book or their subscription or whatever it is. And so I suggest that you first of all, go wide and get a strong list of as many as 25 to 50 of these potential information sources out there, and then get in touch with the top 10 and forge a relationship. And if nothing else, you can incentivize them by using your affiliate structure to give them a percentage. We did this with a huge sports retailer, the number one sports retailer in the net, teaming up with the number one information provider in the net, and it was a win-win for everyone. But beware of diluting your core focus. And this strategic partnership can keep you from doing that, because they can do what they do well, you can do what you do well. In terms of being careful about your core focus, let me also suggest you check out by Al Reese and Jack Trout the book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. Really good book that is full of wisdom about brand extension and about staying true to the primary focus of your value proposition. And I would recommend that in passing. Another caveat is forge a true value-for-value relationship with this partner. Don't try and figure out a way to outsmart them and get the best deal. You are losing so much time and energy in negotiating relationship. Be sure and locating it and doing all the parts that lead up to the deal. Make sure you put a deal in place that's flexible enough and that provides enough value that you don't have to do this again in 6 months. Otherwise, you simply create a cannibal, or you create a competitor, someone who in a short period of time realizes that you're no longer there, you know, it's not a value for every deal, or they can do what you're doing better and make advantage of their information. Even the way we do our affiliate program right now with a journal and people who want to represent its affiliates, we offer up to 45% of the residual revenue stream. I promise you, nobody can go out and duplicate our system and earn a 45% profit. Not any way I know, anyway. And so somebody using our system, teaming up with us, really, if it was Yahoo and they said, well, why don't we do this ourselves? Or if it was even a small person, why don't we do this ourselves? When they look at the cost of infrastructure to duplicate what we're doing and the fact that they can take away more than half of the real profit, it's better for them to let us do it for them. And that's the reason we structure it that way. Another thing is use the neighbor-to-neighbor partnership approach. I think neighbors are better than partners. Here's what I mean by that. It's one thing to have a neighbor who lives next to you. There's a fence between your property. He controls his property. You control your property. And you share some things across the fence. It's another thing to invite your neighbor to come live in your house with you. In some cases, structure will superimpose substance, meaning that if you spend 4 hours in a foxhole or 4 days in a foxhole with somebody, it's likely you'll come out the other side their friend. If you take that same person and spend 4 years in business with them, it's likely you'll come out their enemy. That's the way partnerships are. It's the nature of partnerships. They emphasize human nature's greed element. That doesn't mean they're all bad, but my point is, think of structuring it as a neighbor as opposed to a partner. If you're wondering how to get past that metaphor, what I mean is you control your turf, they control their turf, and you both simply share, you know, you share something across the fence, but the fence is there. Focus on a few key relationships is another point I'd like to bring up, and it's quite vital. I've reviewed many sites that have 20 to 30 incredibly, a lot of times, it became very fashionable in the late 90s and the first part of this, the first part, you know, in 2000, to get as many big partnerships as you possibly could. Venture capital firms tied that in to getting your next round of capital, having, you know, 10 new partnerships in the next 12 months or whatever the case. So people went out and cut deals with everybody, and then nobody focused on them. And all they ended up being is lots of fancy logos on a site. I'd rather have three good relationships that were carefully crafted and carefully followed through with than 30 that simply make me sound impressive when I list them off to a potential client or to a board of directors. I'd suggest you review the upcoming report on affiliates. It'll be released next, and it's the next report. It'll have more information related to this. So that is where I'm at. Now I have a question for you. I guess I will try to move rapidly. I'm not sure what to do, guys. I have, I'm halfway through an outline that has a lot more data for you on syndicated content, on using award sites, and I'm 5 minutes to closing. I think what I'm going to do is structure the second half of this conference in a follow-up program. Would you think that's the wisest thing to do?
You can keep going, that's my concern.
Pardon me?
Can you just go on?
Yeah, that's fine. You can keep going if you want. Please keep
going.
Well,
there are many people who don't have an hour, you know, another hour on their schedule. How many of you are going to let me ask you this. If you have to leave right at 5:30, please let me. It won't take another hour, but it might, you know, how many of you have to leave right at 5:30? Please just go ahead and speak up for me right now so I know.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut out after a little bit more than an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't leave.
This is Bob. I have to leave also.
Okay. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue by offering you something to participate with us on that will help you, and I'm going to book another web conference. It's worth taking the next, taking a full hour and studying what we have to teach you about syndicated content, about how to set up reviews, and how to set up an award system, other ways to get strong mutual links. This conference is focused on developing a content-rich site. I want to take the next Google conference and focus on how to attract strong mutual links. But before I go, I'm going to do something right now that I promised I would do at the end that will help many of you right away. So give me these next 5 minutes and let's do something together that's valuable. One way that we could all help each other is for the group that's on this telephone call who would like to participate in a link alliance to let us know that they would consider that, and then for me to take that information and exchange it with you so that you could communicate via email. There's probably half a dozen or more consultants on this phone right now who might be able to exchange links with each other and strengthen their Google page rank. There's probably some retailers who could do the same. Remember, we limited our seat to 40. And we actually booked up instantly within the first day the entire conference. But what I would suggest now is that if you will email me at administrator@marketingexperiments.com, I will send you, I will collect all the email addresses from every person that does that in your email. That'll go to our administrator. Let us know that you're interested in mutual linking. I'll compile a list of everyone who sends that email, just the email address, no other information, and then I'll send that only to those people who sent the emails to us. So if 20 of you email us, we'll send you out 20, to each of you 20, we'll send you 20 potential emails. We want to know your business category. Put that in the email. You know, are you a retailer in houseware or what, or just your business category? And your email address, which we'll have. And we'll take that information, and we'll basically forge our own link alliance here. This is not a link farm. This is not the same thing as the silliness that has passed on. These are just a good opportunity for a bunch of people on the phone together to work together to help each other. So send us the emails. We'll follow up. We'll also book another conference call, and in that conference call, we'll talk not about content, but how to attract strong mutual links. Does that make sense?
Sounds good.
Yes. Sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay. Now let me review my notes and see if there's anything else that I want to touch, because I'm ending this last section. All right. Let me give you. Let me go over with you the outline for the next conference call, and then we'll close. We will talk about, first of all, the basics, some of which I'll point to you from our previous article, and we'll talk about the importance of DMOS and how to submit testimonials. We'll lay out for you some tools that you can use to check your link popularity, and then we'll move into some overlooked ways that will help you, such as syndicated content. We'll show you the scripts. We'll tell you how to syndicate your content so it could appear on multiple sites. This works for a retailer, too. In fact, it's a great tool for a retailer. We'll explain to you how to do that and how to use these tools and how we've set it up, and we'll give you examples. We'll also take you into showing you how to set up a review system. We'll show you examples of reviews and how to use them. Then we have been conducted a significant amount of money of research on awards and how to use award sites, how to win awards with your website. We'll talk about what we've learned about award sites. We'll talk about a list of 50 different award sites that we've tested out of 600. And we'll talk about how to use award sites to improve your overall Google page rank. And we'll then follow up also on this link alliance that I just proposed, and we'll see how that's going. We'll all work on that together to make sure that it's working out right or to the best of the opportunity so it's maximized. And hopefully all of us will have a better Google page rank because we did so. All right?
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll continue to, and ladies, and we'll continue to talk. We'll be in touch and give you the date for the next conference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All
right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I ask before we dismiss, if anybody's got a moment, I was about to dismiss, but have you found, give me feedback, it's been helpful for you?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like my page rank has gone up already.
I appreciate that, Roy. I recognize your voice, man.
Can I make one comment?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm actually starting a brand new retail business. I've been doing internet marketing for other people for a while, and
yes.
So this is really good for me to hear this before I even start my retail site. And of course, I know you highly recommend Yahoo stores due to the static nature of the pages and that kind of thing. So it's been real helpful to kind of hear that I'm going in the right direction.
I'm in the exact same boat. I've been doing consulting for small businesses for a little while, and I'm doing my own thing now. So same boat. Definitely great advice. Thank you.
Great.
Well, I appreciate that. And I would suggest if you're starting a new retail, get into the lab and use the blueprint. As
okay.
You're planning your first 90 days of marketing, you can convert that blueprint into your own plan, and it'll lay out what you probably ought to do first, second, and third, including how to get your site design right. And then, you know, you can use the supporting articles to get the data you need to plan it, and might be helpful. So.
Fantastic.
Dr. McLaughlin, Blint, will you be at the conference in San Jose?
No. I've been thinking about going to the conferences. I went and spoke in New York at one conference this year. It's very difficult for me to get me to leave my lab, I'm afraid. I actually be in London for the next 3 months doing research there.
Gotcha.
Still, you know, working closely with what's happening there, but I'll be working with the University of London there. So I'll be missing that thing. However, I have thought about conducting a conference here.
Mm.
Most of the CEOs come in and fly in and meet with me here because I just it's unproductive for me to travel too much. But I have thought about hosting. I'm on the beach. My lab is on the beach. The hotel
nice.
Is right across the street, and we could conceivably hold a conference here, and if you think that's intriguing, send me an email about it. And
yeah, that would be fun.
Dr. McLaughlin, may I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
This is Wayne Clayton with About Biz Magazine. I have a book that I've read that talks about raising your ranking within Google using Smart Pages. Are you familiar with that?
Which book have you read?
The Whole Truth by Stephen Pearce.
Okay. I have and am not, at this point, I have not done, in my we do a literature survey, and I did an online and an offline literature survey, and we've reviewed every piece, but I have not reviewed that piece.
Okay.
And if it has something valuable, I'd be interested in looking at it, seeing if it can bring any value to the members.
Okay.
If you'll send me the information, I'll look at it. I just don't want to pretend that I have read it if I have not.
That's fine. Thank you.
And so I will. All right. Anything else before I slip away? Okay. Thank you all for coming. We'll talk to you soon.